I'm joined today by the Carr Petrova duo, that is violist Molly Carr and pianist Anna Petrova. Welcome to you both.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
Yeah, I appreciate your time today. We're going to talk about this album of yours called Novel Voices. Really interesting. Not only album, but this is sort of the companion music or album to the project of that name, Novel Voices, a refugee aid project. Can you give us some background on that project and what it does?
Yes. So the Novel Voices Refugee Aid Project is a project which Anna and I dreamed up together about 2 years ago. Its aim is to offer voice and visibility to refugees around the globe. Over the past year and a half, Anna and I, together with a composer, Fernando Arroyo Lascurain, and two filmmakers, Skylar Knutsen and Victoria Stevens, we've all been together traveling around the world into refugee camps and refugee communities in order to offer concerts and musical workshops, but also to listen and learn. And to bring back what we have heard and learned and share it with the rest of the world through this album, the Novel Voices album, through a documentary eventually, which will be released, I believe, next year.
Sometime next year.
Yeah. And a social media campaign. And what did I miss? Is that it?
And a Carnegie Hall
and
concert.
A Carnegie Hall debut.
Which we just did last month. And so the idea was that we are offering classical music, but also we wanted to hear some of their folk music of the refugees, of all the different cultures that we met, and their dances and some of their poetry. So our composer, Fernando, he gathered all of this material and then integrated it into his new work for the duo, also titled Novel Voices. So we premiered that in our Carnegie debut and also recorded it on our debut album, which you have in front of you.
It's really interesting, beautiful music, I want to say. And I'll talk about that in a moment, but you mentioned that the two of you dreamed up this project a couple of years ago. Was there any kind of impetus for it? I mean, what led you in this direction?
So we have been a duo for a number of years, and we were actually together in Anna's place in Texas. She was living there a couple years ago, and we were kind of trying to think what our next project, we wanted our next project to be, and we both very much wanted it to be something that was bigger than ourselves, something that could do some have some sort of social impact. And so right at the same time, I was actually taking Hebrew lessons. And in one of my Hebrew lessons, my Hebrew teacher said, "I'm so sorry, I have to leave a little bit early because I have to go take my adopted refugee boy to school." And I asked, "I'm sorry, can you tell me more about this?" And it turned out that she was a regular volunteer with an organization called Home for Refugees, which is an incredible organization that works in the LA area, which essentially adopts refugee families when they come into the U.S. and helps them start a new life. And so the more I heard about this, the more excited I got about it. And I started asking friends and colleagues around me, does anyone know what is happening with refugees in America? And where are organizations like this in our area, in New York? And most of the people I asked didn't know anything. And so this was sort of a trigger for me. I approached Anna and asked, "Hey, what about this?" And then this was this crazy, like, 48-hour period of sitting on Anna's couch and just letting our imaginations go wild. And thought, well, you know, why don't we travel the world? Why don't we go and, like, play concerts in refugee camps? And then we can bring a composer, and then we can bring filmmakers, and we can do, you know, play in Carnegie Hall. We can commission a piece. We can do all of this. And so within, like, 48 hours, these two ideas of a project bigger than ourselves and the need to raise awareness for what's going on around us in the world of refugees, they collided and we had the project.
Yeah, it was a very impassionate time. And we knew we had to take it internationally because I myself didn't really know much about refugees in the States. But being a European, I'm from Bulgaria, we hear about that all the time, right? There is a huge plight of refugees in Europe right now. And so when she brought that to me, I immediately thought, wow, this would be great. I would love to bring this to my country and to play for refugees there. And so we've been to Bulgaria, we went to Denmark, we went to the West Bank, and we've been to two places in the United States.
Three places
now, because we've brought the project also to Kentucky.
Now, the composer, Fernando Arroyo Lascurain, is that how you say his name?
Yes,
correct. Okay. Well done.
I did okay. Yeah. He's Mexican, actually?
Yes, he's Mexican. He lives right now in the United States. He lives in L.A. And he went to school with us, actually, in Manhattan School of Music in the 2005 to 2009. We all did our undergrads together. Well, Molly transferred to Juilliard in a few years later. So Fernando studied with Richard Daniopour here in New York, and then he later went to finish his PhD in UCLA.
Can we talk a little bit about his piece, because it is so beautiful, and I do want to say this entire album is just beautifully recorded. The instruments sound wonderful, the music is a fantastic program that you have here. But as far as the Novel Voices piece, it's in three movements here, and each of the movements has a title. I wonder if there's a program behind it?
Well, first of all, thank you. We're so glad that you like the CD.
Yes, thank you.
It's a really true work of love. So we are happy that people appreciate it. Yes, so the way Fernando describes this, and I'm sorry if I'm putting words in his mouth here, he should be the one speaking about it, really. The first movement is called Stories and Dreams. And it sort of starts with what we're imagining, the life story of all of us. We all have hopes, we all have dreams, we all have things to look forward to in the future. But then sometimes life happens, and sometimes the unexpected and the tragedy that most of these refugees had to live through. Which takes us then to the second movement, which is called The Dance of Uncertainty. And that's what Fernando speaks about, is their period of transitioning, right? Their period of finding a new place, of resettling, of hopefully, you know, if everything goes smoothly and they're safe, finding a new life. And that's the moment where it's uncertain. And actually, it's beautiful how he portrays it in the music, because he's chosen this shifting meters between 5/8 and 7/8 and 6/8. And so that you can kind of feel that intensity in the pulse of the piece. And then the last movement is called Call and Prayer. And that's mostly what we would hope to have achieved with this project. This project was, you know, it could sound like a huge undertaking. And it was, just by the two of us with Molly, we didn't realize what we were getting ourselves into once we started. Mm-hmm. But we realized that it could be seen from the outside as a sort of a naive undertaking in a way, because obviously we can't change the refugee problem, and we can't change policies and politics and, you know, all of the things that actually create the refugee crisis. But what we were hoping for is to get people to to think about it and to maybe change their opinions and maybe provoke conversations and then get involved and both physically and mentally and, you know, or donate money just so we could change a few lives at a time. And so this is what Call and Prayer is about. This is our story, our call for a better future, in a way, somehow, for people to think about.
If I might add a few words to what Anna just beautifully said about the Novel Voices commissioned work, it's also a beautiful experience every time we perform it because, in a way, it's like reliving the past year and a half. There are so many direct quotes in the piece, like the beginning of the very opening first movement has a quote from our time in the Palestinian Dehesha camp. It's directly a song that was played for us by the Palestinian refugees there.
A traditional Arabic song, right?
On Kanun and Oud, they were very excited to play for us. Then it also has a direct quote from... So Anna mentioned that every place we went, we asked the partnering organizations that we worked with to prepare the refugees that we would be working with, to ask them if they would be interested in offering something of their own. And in LA, when we worked with Home for Refugees, there was an amazing refugee woman from Afghanistan who actually wrote a poem of her own and brought it to us. Mm-hmm. And we were so moved that Fernando actually put it to music. And that music is directly, it's the last thing that you hear in the first movement. You also hear in the second movement and the rhythms that Anna was talking about with the cross rhythms, like jumping back and forth between these sort of unstable rhythms. Mm-hmm. These are the rhythms that were clapped and sung for us by refugees from Congo.
Yeah.
What else is there?
There's also the Bulgarian rhythm in the second movement. So in Bulgaria, I played for the refugees, some of the Bulgarian traditional dances, and also in Denmark, I think. And so Fernando took that rhythm and then he embedded it in the piece. And there are also traditional, the piano sometimes imitates the traditional woods and kanuns, the plucking instruments of the Arab music. There's also one place where we played this game with some of the kids, with the younger kids, called the statues game, which is, I play or somebody plays music and when the music stops, everybody has to freeze. And that was a kind of a nice way of breaking the ice with the kids. And Fernando super ingeniously incorporated that in one of the movements. There is a moment where the music freezes and then it starts again and it freezes again. So it completely reminds us of those games that we played with the kids. It's a very... The piece itself is very autobiographical, if we can call it that way.
Yeah.
Well, it's a testament to Fernando that he was able to incorporate so many personal elements into the piece, while at the same time just listening to it, it is, you know, absolutely rewarding to listen to on the surface level as well. Beautiful music. In the little bit of time we have left, maybe you can mention the three other works that you have on here. Two of them are arrangements for viola and piano of other works. But there's this viola sonata by Rebecca Clark, who was a fantastic composer. Certainly didn't get her due when she was alive and working, but I think there's been a bit of a Rebecca Clark resurgence in recent years. Would you agree with that?
Yes, absolutely.
There should be.
Yes, yeah. Yeah, all of the pieces on this album, we chose to have on the album originally because we loved the music and we just were dying to play it together. Yeah. And the Rebecca Clark Sonata was one which I as a violist had played quite a bit, and I was very excited to draw Anna into this.
And it's still one of my favorite pieces of music ever. I think it's the most gorgeous music ever written.
Very juicy. But it's also, for me as a female violist, it's also something, a piece and a composer that is very near and dear to my heart, because she was, of course, one of the first female professional violists in history. And her story of having to really stand her ground and fight her way to do what she loved is really powerful, really beautiful story. So
yeah, and essentially what she did is give a novel voice to the viola, right?
Right, yeah, because when she was doing what she loved, it was at the time when the viola is really stepping into the spotlight as a solo instrument for the first time in history. Mm-hmm. So yeah, we're very lucky, we violists, that she wrote this piece for us.
And for the other pieces, which are not necessarily written for viola, they work perfectly on viola. So we encourage all of you to listen to them. The Mstislav Weinberg Sonata for clarinet is a piece that I love dearly and deeply. And it works perfectly on the viola. It's an official transcription by Rebecca Adler. It's published. And it's a huge fresco of all kinds of human emotions. Very dramatic and very mischievous at times, and it's a very deep piece, very deep music, sometimes quite dark, but through this piece and through incorporating Weinberg into our program, we were trying to also consolidate on that theme of the album, which is hope through adversity. And his story is a horrifying one of having to escape both the persecution of the Nazis in the Second World War, who killed most of his family, and then having escaped to Russia, then dealing with all kinds of sets of other issues with the Stalin regime and the Zhdanov Doctrine and all of the censorship that composers had to go through. And so with his piece, his piece is embedded with all kinds of Jewish melodies and klezmer tunes, and it combines that kind of elated joy with the depths of tragedy and misery. But nevertheless, a very, very beautiful piece. And the last piece is the Kachaturian Lullaby, which we actually transcribed for viola and piano, which we were super excited about. Our transcription is about to be published any day now in the Grafo Art Publishing House. And yeah, it's a beautiful, short 5-minute piece of kind of haunting, mysterious beauty. And at the same time, it's a lullaby, soothing for the baby, but also giving the mother in the story of Gayane, is the ballet of Kachaturian Gayane, giving the mother sort of a personal voice to express her thoughts and opinions, which her society doesn't allow her in that story.
Well, it's been so fascinating to hear some of the stories behind these pieces, because they enhance, you know, your enjoyment of it when you go and listen to it. So I would urge all of the folks who are listening to this interview to check it out. It's called Novel Voices. That's the name of the album from the Carr Petrova duo, Molly Carr Viola, Anna Petrova Piano. And if folks want to learn more through your website, where do they go for that?
Yes, they go to www.carpetrovaduo.com. That's CARRPETROVA.com. And there's, a lot of info we've put on the website about both the album and about the Novel Voices Refugee Aid Project.
Wonderful. Molly Carr and Anna Petrova, thanks so much for joining us here on FM 91.
Thanks so much. It's been a pleasure talking to you.
Yes.